Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Modern Superior.
Hello, welcome to episode 302 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, February 6th, 2018. My name is Dan Gorman, and I didn't write down a quote this week.
Oh, good.
That's, which is kind of like an anti-quote.
That's how you remember it. That you did that. Didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. My name is Casey Lyons, and without third wheels, tricycles would be bicycles. Who ever heard of a bicycle?
My name is Greg LeGros, and there are wind chimes where my ding-dong should be.
Oh, we have tons.
Now, that's not a quote so much as a medical fact.
We have tons of stuff to talk about this week. We have a film in Film Roulette called Toxic Shark. Winner's Choice selection, a Punishment album, and more. We have lots of things to talk about off the top. If you'd like to email us anything, you can email us it at info@modernsuperior.com. You can go to iTunes and wait and then rate and review us. And you can.
Dan's going to be doing the whole show in his baby voice.
Yeah.
You go can, and wait and review us.
ModernSuperior.com is where you can find our show, amongst others, such as A Frame Apart, Death Watch, After All, and more. And you can go on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. And we are SYNWPC on all of those.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm fucking up the show from the top.
Yeah, no, listen, you're doing great.
I know.
Keep going.
We have three audio tracks for the first time. That's why.
Dan can't stop looking at audio.
I gotta make sure that it's going right.
Yeah. Oh, it's going, baby.
Yeah, why not? We're a mess down here already.
Yeah.
There's a baby coming to visit.
Oh,
us.
Oh, baby's
just
coming to visit.
Business as usual.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
whose baby is that?
I don't know.
Well, we have lots of stuff to talk about. There was lots of trailers. Did we decide what we were doing with those trailers?
The trailers will be in the beyond the Patreon wall.
If you want to hear us talk about the big game trailers, the old Super Bowl trailers, you're going to have to go on the Patreon.
Very important trailer.
Yeah.
And a dumb story.
Yeah, and a dumb story.
About dumb people.
Mm-hmm. A dumb story about dumb people, for dumb people, by dumb people.
It's the best of all worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Patreon, you're going to want to donate. Oh, want to be on the show?
Yeah, my daughter has come down to visit. All right.
Well, we have lots of stuff before we get to our film roulette. We do have all the movie news and things that we've been watching. As we mentioned, the trailers will be in the Patreon, trailer reviews in the Patreon section behind the Patreon wall.
Yeah. So there's stuff here, too.
Yeah, there is some stuff. And I wrote down some things to talk about.
Okay.
Some brand new news. Let me just open up the old apparoony here. So in the news today, we got the Game of Thrones creators to write and produce new series of Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
So I guess it is...
You made
that
sound like you got them to do it.
Yeah. I got them to do this.
I made a couple calls. Yep. I said, guys, it'd be a real hoot.
I wrote a freaking email.
Yeah. I said, David, DB, come on.
Hey, guys, I'm Italian. Why not do it?
Yeah. So they're going to write and produce a new series of Star Wars films for the company, which are separate from both the episodic Skywalker saga and the previously announced trilogy in development from Rian Johnson.
So now there are two trilogies. My question is, are
There's going to be three. There's going to be a trilogy of trilogies.
Trilogy.
Yeah. Thrice-logy. Yeah.
That's unnecessary. Yeah. Trilogy already means three.
Yeah. I kind of heard this news, and not any shade to be thrown at Game of Thrones, which, as far as I know, is a very quality program, and people really like it.
Yeah.
But I saw this news and was just like, cool, I guess, but I'm waiting for, like, when are they going to do, like, some really, really interesting fucking... You know, handing this off to somebody
when
really
interesting.
When are they
going to let Werner Herzog make a Star Wars
movie? When are we going to get a woman to direct a Star Wars movie? When are we going to get more people of color directing Star Wars
perhaps
movies?
Perhaps they're developing and they will allow different people to handle the
this
directing.
This is true.
Rights. These are just maybe, the showrunners and creators, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe they'll just set something into place.
That's
true.
We don't know that yet.
They're probably all men, aren't they?
Yeah.
I have to assume so.
Probably.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, probably.
Two dudes. And it's the same dudes that were going to make that show for HBO Confederate where they were like, what if in an alternate timeline, you know,
someone made a terrible television show?
Like, I get why sitting around in a room kind of going like, yeah, I could see how that would be a really interesting and dramatic show.
Yeah.
And then I guess there was just the person with enough sense to go, no, was out on lunch that day.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the movie White Man's Burden? With
yes,
John
I
Travolta
and Harry Belafonte.
That's like one. It's this. It's like, yeah, maybe in like 93, you could have done this kind of a like, what if the opposite was true?
Oh, that movie.
Holy shit.
Wow, is it a bad movie? That is a mistake on all levels.
If you want to know how big of a mistake it is, go look up the trailer for that movie.
Oh, I dare you to fucking watch it.
Yeah.
I get trying
what
to
if it
that.
Was white people who were persecuted?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know, more Star Wars?
Yeah.
I'm cool for that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, I'll friggin', like, I'm just, it's such a wide open playing field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just such a brave new frontier that terrifies me. And,
You know, it's great. I think, good, add more trilogies and make as many as you can. Like, the expanded universe, which went on for decades and decades after the original series, is because people were dying for more of it.
Yes,
they wanted so much of it that they wrote a whole gigantic thing that's so much bigger than the original three movies. So now we're making it.
Yeah.
So great.
And it's all technically canonical, or it's not all technically canonical, but there is a person whose job it is to decide what is and what isn't canonical.
Right.
Which is to fucking that guy for having the coolest job in the world. Well, maybe cool is the wrong word, but but I don't know, man. Like,
that's good power.
Yeah.
You know?
You're
the guy. Like, no, you know what? Fuck you, Steve. This isn't canon.
Yeah. You know what, Steve? I didn't like you talking to my wife just now. Your shit's not canon. Oh, God.
That's funny.
Why is he so jealous?
Fucking Steve.
God, Steve wasn't doing anything.
Steve was dead weight in that room.
To be fair, Steve's shit was weak. I don't know, Chewbacca 2? Yeah.
Alternate timeline.
Shut up.
Evil Chewbacca? He doesn't help them. Oh, man.
He doesn't know how to fly that ship.
Yeah.
He sounds like this.
Tim Allen?
Yeah, we got Tim Allen to play him.
Yeah. All these things is the Tonight Show theme.
Yeah.
He almost does.
Yeah.
You pointed that out to me once, and never again have I been able to watch that scene.
It's like, they must have known. They must have known.
Maybe the guy who does the chewy stuff had just watched an episode of The Tonight Show and it was stuck in his head.
Think about it. Or maybe he really wanted to get on The Tonight Show and he's how am I going to do this?
This Star Wars thing can't last.
Yeah.
Backup job. Band leader.
I could sing the Tonight Show theme.
Yeah. I just hope they're listening in that scene and they recognize.
Well, it's after Luke comes, it's an Empire.
It's in Empire.
Just before the kiss, or just after the kiss from Leia?
Yeah. I feel like Leia insults Han in some way, and that's Chewie's.
Chewie goes,
really weird.
I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to have to go to a compare and contrast of those two themes. So outside of the world of Star Wars, did you guys know there is a Muppet Babies reboot coming? And
what?
Did you know that it's going to star Jenny Slate?
questions, first of all.
Yes. The voice
statement, first of all, yay.
Yeah.
So I fucking loved Muppet Babies.
She's going to... like a cartoon
I
again?
Think so.
Like a cartoon series
it must
in
be,
the morning?
Because it says Jenny Slate will provide the voice of Miss Nanny, the Muppet caretaker who, as in the original series, will only be seen from the torso down.
Oh, interesting. I mean, the Muppet... the first time you saw the Muppet Babies was in a movie and they were actual puppets.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Muppets Take Manhattan.
Right.
Yeah, and I feel like... this is I think it's like a Disney Channel thing.
Yeah, right.
So it's probably going to be like a TV series. But yeah,
there's more Muppet stuff being added to the world. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Muppet Babies was fucking dope as heck.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Totally. Yeah. And there's a lot of people.
But I'd like to see like a more like real world, grittier take.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The guys from Game of Thrones are attached to producing.
Yeah, right. So
Paul Schrader's directing.
Yeah.
More sex.
Yeah. 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 Totally. Mm-hmm. So that's some fun news.
Yeah.
Nothing really to talk about, but I was like, that's neat.
Yeah. No, that's interesting.
Schwarzenegger has a new project starring in a Western mystery series for Amazon.
Series?
Yes.
Interesting.
I feel like I knew about this.
I feel like that's probably going to be sweet, right?
I didn't, but I feel like I did.
It's a Western.
Yeah. Called Outrider.
Yeah.
Yeah. Set in the Oklahoma Indian Territory in the late 1800s, following a deputy tasked with tracking down a notorious outlaw.
Yeah,
he will play ruthless federal marshal assigned to accompany the deputy.
Yeah,
please tell me this is the Western series that the Coen brothers are making.
Oh man, yeah,
I'm gonna have such a weird time watching him in a Western with that. I mean, I'll watch him in anything. I love him.
Absolutely, but I will believe him in everything. I'll be like, yep, he's a Western fellow.
Yeah.
I'm from here, Oklahoma. It's great. It's beautiful. It's terrific.
Love it here. Always have.
Come on.
Have you guys watched any
of
the Amazon Prime?
Everything Oklahoma. I'm very fond here.
Have you guys seen any of the Amazon Prime series?
Schwarzenegger's getting better.
Yeah, mine's a little loose. I haven't tried to do it in months.
Tighten it up.
Yeah, Jesus.
God. Sorry, Dan, you were saying?
Have you guys watched many of the Amazon Prime series? Because there's one Mississippi I know we've talked about.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, got fucking canceled.
Yeah. And then there's Transparent.
Never saw that.
I've seen the first episode.
I watched the entirety of The Marvelous Miss Maisel and
did you?
Really liked it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I liked that show a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, actually, because it is partially about stand-up.
Yeah.
And it kind of doesn't get that right, but I was able to move past it and just enjoy it because I think it's a great show. It doesn't get it wrong, but it is that kind of thing where it's like set in the past, so it's like... oh, there's a little bit of, you're bringing a little bit of like a modern knowledge of stand up to this retro show.
Ugh.
But it is actually really, really great. And it's from the creator of Gilmore Girls. So it's got really good dialogue. I've had a really good time
that's
watching
the lady
it.
In the stupid hat. All right, that all makes sense to me now.
I'm going to have a stupid hat in my show, too.
Yeah. I'm a stupid cowboy.
With the dumb hat. Yeah, no, for a second I was confused, but then I remembered that I Googled the Gilmore Girls creator, and then Emma and I Googled Gilmore Girls creator hat ? Because we were like, does she always wear these hats?
Yeah.
She does, yeah.
All right.
Oh, I will never watch one of her shows based on her hats.
It's a great show. I really liked it.
All right.
But Amazon has some really cool stuff.
It's why I couldn't watch. Like, I love the cast of... I'm Punch dying line. Up here. Punchline. They got it dead on. Nobody's funnier than Sally Field.
I'm dying up here.
Yeah.
You couldn't get past the stand-up
line.
Stuff.
I'm dying up here. Yeah, but it feels too inauthentic. I love everybody, and even the stand-ups, like Al Madrigal, I think is fucking hilarious. I love him. But I was like, nah.
Yeah.
And I love his character. I love that he's playing like a Freddie Prinze kind of kind of guy, and,
yeah.
and you know, John Daly and everybody else. But mm-hmm. I'm just like, well, and then Melissa Leo comes along and is like, all right, shut it down.
Red Oaks was actually really good too. Another Amazon production.
I really want to watch that show because I love. First of all, I just love the idea of Paul Reiser show.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like set in the 80s at like a tennis club, and they do a lot of really fun stuff. Like one of the episodes is a body switch episode.
Oh, wow.
And it's got a good cast. It's not like the best show in the world, but it's really funny.
Yeah.
And so I feel like Amazon is starting to kick up their shows a little bit, and
good.
This seems like the Schwarzenegger thing like could be interesting.
I'm very curious about that.
It's yeah. You can't not be.
No.
Yeah. And then I also saved that Black Dynamite is getting a sequel, and that's going to be a Western parody called Outlaw Johnny Black.
I'll tell you something about Black Dynamite. I don't know what that is.
You don't know the movie Black Dynamite? The blaxploitation?
Don't yell at me, Daniel.
yeah. With Michael Jai White.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah, yeah, I totally
years
remember
ago. Yeah,
that.
From 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. A really funny movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's good.
It's very good.
Yeah.
You should watch it.
A lot better than you're thinking it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I really feel like parodies of blaxploitation are pretty painful.
Well, it's not really a parody. They just kind of do like a blaxploitation movie.
Mm. And they do it like
they don't wait
too funny,
much.
It's funny, yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of like straight
so
up.
They like just have the mic in a lot of the shots. Like it's yeah. pretty like fairly, as far as like it's super zany wacky.
Yeah.
But as far as like nailing that
Look,
kind
I
of feel, it's pretty good.
I can deal with that type of thing because I feel like I'm going to get you sucker kind of straddles that
yeah.
line
yeah.
in a fucking really great way.
Yeah.
As I remember, I'm that's a movie that I'm scared to go back and watch.
Yeah, it's been
I
a long time.
I feel like it's going to
It's pretty
suck.
Funny. It's still funny.
Yeah. Is it still?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah it's
awesome.
Not like doesn't hold together all, you know, all the way through, but there's a lot to laugh at still.
Yeah.
Right. It's funny still.
Interesting.
Yeah. That I saw it like 5 years ago, so maybe.
Okay, good enough. Well, I haven't seen it in 15
yeah,
years
yeah.
at least.
It's got some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Michael J. White is really good in Black Dynamite.
Yeah. Mm. I'm interested for more, and it being a Western could be interesting.
Yeah.
You never know.
No.
Yeah. And then I saved this, but I didn't actually watch it. So apparently there is a trailer for Marvel's Wolverine the Long Night, which is like expanding the Marvel universe in a unique way. A scripted podcast.
What?
Is what it says.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
This
Please
is a
elaborate.
This is a Marvel podcast.
So it's a. Is it like, I'm Wolverine, welcome to the show?
Yeah, I guess. Well,
my guest today is Paul F. Tompkins.
Well, then it wouldn't be scripted, would
Let's
it? That would
up.
Be an interview series.
Yeah. Is he hosting Time Bandits?
Well, yeah. We used to have guests.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why not Wolverine?
But we yeah. weren't scripted.
Guys, I really like Snake Eater. Why does he sound like
yeah.
this?
So it's a collaboration with Stitcher, and it has some pretty big names attached to it.
Like him.
So Richard
like an old-timey radio show, but
yeah.
starring Wolverine.
Yeah. Richard Armitage is okay. the titular role from Hannibal and the Hobbit. Bob Balaban's going to be
I've
in
I've never
it.
Seen Hannibal and the Hobbit.
I don't know what those words are doing together.
Yeah, so Bob Balaban and basically there's some people from Broad City, Orange is the
Ooh.
New Black, The Magicians, The Comeback.
Who from Broad City?
Chris Gethard's going to make a cameo.
Oh,
Bob Balaban was in
Broad City.
And a ton of other people. And it's been written by award-winning comic book author Ben Percy, who did The Wilding and Red Mood, and directed by somebody who worked on the Radiotopia show, Love and Radio. It's just like, this is like a new frontier for fucking Marvel, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's, I don't, yeah,
I would be interested in how a comic book world could be turned into like a radio thing. Because they did that with Star Wars. There's like Star Wars radio
sure.
drama things
sure.
and like, could
I quite
be interesting.
Like listening to radio dramas.
Yeah.
I got into a big kick on it a while back when I figured out the places to find them.
Yeah.
Like the old
yeah.
ones, you know.
The Shadow.
I listened to a lot when I was a kid, too. Theater of the Mind and stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess that's interesting. And, like, listen, a lot of the best, you know, Marvel and comic book storylines, not just Marvel, everyone, it's not always action-based. And
yeah.
quite a lot of it, what stays with you is the writing, the dialogue.
Yeah.
That's why Chris Claremont was employed by for one comic book for 20
yeah.
years. You know,
or the pulpy drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be interesting. I hope they have a little door for when they open and close doors.
I hope, they just have
I
a
hope
guy.
It's just somebody who goes,
as long as it's as good as the Frasier episode where they do that, I'm on board.
Yeah, that's a great episode.
That is so good.
Oh, speaking of which, why do you have to make it so sad?
Oh, yeah, we got to get into that. The sad news. Who wants to take it?
John Mahoney died.
Yeah.
Of, that sucks. I love John Mahoney.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love John Mahoney?
So good. Like one of the great character actors who I also feel like didn't get the due he deserved. He never won an Emmy for Frasier. That's
Which
fucked
is
up,
insane.
Right? Yeah, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I always think, like, why wasn't he nominated for Say Anything? Like, that is an amazing piece of acting.
Yeah.
And there's all these other roles
Barton
that he was
Fink.
In. Yeah, Barton Fink. Like, I feel like when people talk about the great character actors, I guess maybe because he had enough bigger roles that maybe he didn't get the idea, like, people didn't really think of him as, like, specifically a character actor, but, like, he, like, consistently so good.
So good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Really sad. I just couldn't believe when I read that he had never been nominated, he never won for Frasier.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's such a long-running
like
show.
A decade.
And he's so good in it, and it's so sad.
Yeah. He's remarkable.
Yeah.
Like, that show should not have been good.
No.
It's crazy how good that show is.
It's so
and,
good.
Like, from the get-go, episode one, like, I did a rewatch of Frasier a couple years ago, and episode one, tone is perfect. It's all, it's just all there, and it's immediately comfortable and funny. It's like, doesn't have any of that awkward first season or first episode shit. And it's a jump. It's different writing and humor than Cheers. So, like, to take this character out of that, which never works. Spinoffs are never good.
I don't know. Did you see the Tortellis? There's a moment on Frasier that's one of my favorite sitcom moments of all time that takes like a self-referential joke and does it like 100% pitch perfect. He's his ex-wife, I think, his first ex-wife before Lilith, is like a TV clown or something like that, or like a popular children's entertainer, and she's sick of doing it and she wants to quit, and she says to him, I think it's Laurie Metcalf actually who plays her, and she says to him, she's like, do you have any idea what it's like to play the same character for 20 years? And they just gloss right over it, like they don't, like, I mean, there is a laugh line, but he doesn't like go like look at the camera or anything. It's just, it's so perfectly handled, and it's pretty great.
Nice.
Yep.
Amazing.
John Mahoney.
Anyway, that had nothing to do with John Mahoney.
Whatever, he was part of a pretty perfect TV show.
Yeah.
And he was an essential piece to it.
Yeah. Totally. Super sad.
Yeah.
I love the episode where he got new glasses and they were women's glasses. And he was so proud of them.
so good.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What have you guys been watching then?
Okay.
Movies?
Yeah. Movies. TV? Casey, you said you had some stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you watch this week?
What?
I played a little catch up.
Okay.
Catch up. I watched some stuff. I watched, here's an interesting thing, because Myos really wanted to watch this, and I always say this on the podcast, I always pick the movie, and well, I don't always pick the movie, but we rarely get to watch the movie that she wants to watch, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we watched Bad Moms Christmas.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
Athena started watching that a little while ago.
Yes. So interested. We watched that.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it's fucking terrible. It's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
But it is completely watchable only for, I mean, Kristen Bell is always pretty good.
Yeah.
Catherine Hahn is not funny in this at all.
Mm-hmm.
She's terrible. Mila Kunis is just awful. Mm. She's the least funny human being in the world. Susan Sarandon, not funny. But Cheryl Hines and Christine Baranski are so funny in this thing that it's worth watching it.
Oh, okay.
Which is a crazy thing to say.
Yeah.
That this movie might be worth watching, but it is because Christine Baranski, like, Cheryl Hines is legitimately very funny in it and plays a couple of just fantastic beats, but Christine Baranski is a fucking masterclass in making shit into fucking gold. And it's crazy how she does it in this movie. Because this movie is like, if I was a woman, I would be insulted by this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this movie is like, hey, women, you guys are all fucking idiots and you like this, like, don't go there, girlfriend kind of comedy. It's written by two fucking idiot guys, first of all. Like, and it just feels like it's like, hey, women, you're going to watch this bullcrap. And maybe, like, you know, maybe that's just my, you know, shitty male take on it. Maybe it is legitimately funny, but... It just feels
like... No, Athena was, like, mad at it.
Yeah. Like, it feels like... I feel... it. Like, in my limited knowledge as a man, I feel like women should be mad at this movie.
Yeah.
But, again, Christine Baranski is so fucking great in it that I actually say, you know, watch it. Watch it just for her.
Nice.
It's crazy.
I had, like, a similar experience recently with Emma. She put on, because it just got on Netflix, that How to Be Single movie with Rebel Wilson. And it was that kind of thing where I was like, oh, I don't think this is a good movie. And I feel like it's maybe like so rom-com cliche to the point where maybe I wasn't following it too hard. I was just on in the background. But I was looking up and being like, this is kind of funny.
Yeah,
that's kind of funny. But like also looking at it and being like, but this is probably garbage. Right. Yeah.
but like that's the thing about Rebel Wilson is that she's so
just be
good.
Funny. Yeah. Yeah. So I know what you mean when you say that.
But, like, I was totally blown away because, again, like, she is legitimately, like, there was a couple of scenes where it was just, like, I don't know, it feels like an overstatement, but sometimes I can find comedy to be quite breathtaking, like, where you're just, like,
yeah,
that was the perfect delivery.
Yeah.
That was the, everything, you embodied everything about what that line was supposed to be, and you took a line and made it legitimately great.
Yeah.
And it just... blows my mind, and she effortlessly does it. And I don't think that Christine Baranski gets enough recognition. What's that?
Shoes.
I don't think she gets enough shoes. I don't think she gets enough sunlight. I'm worried about her vitamin D intake.
Yeah. Credit.
I think credit's fine. I don't know.
Does she get enough credit, though, for how funny she is? Is that what you were trying to say?
That is exactly what I was trying to say. I could not figure out the word.
Yeah.
But
sweet.
Yeah, she is one.
So, Mom's Christmas, Bad Mom's Christmas, Silver Lining.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Greg?
Yeah.
What about you?
What about me?
Watching movies.
Yeah. I watched Landline.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I
yeah.
saw that movie.
Yeah. I wanted to. And you gave it a nice review.
I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. And yeah, it's
good.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I
didn't like it as much as Obvious Child.
No, nowhere near as much as Obvious Child.
I had a good time watching it.
And it's just it's just fine.
Yeah.
Because now it's been like over a week since I saw it. So
and it's starting
it's
to
like
fade.
Really dripping away in my mind. Like there's, because not a lot
oh,
really
it's
stays
a drip.
With
it's,
you.
It's a drip away. It's a just like, I watched that. It was charming. I liked the performances.
And
a month later, I'll forget.
Like a great cast.
Oh,
huge
so
cast,
good cast.
Of very good people.
Yeah. And really some very funny moments that I feel like are all in the trailer. It's one of those movies where the biggest laughs are all the ones in the trailer. So if you watch it, you'll be like, oh, those were the jokes.
And it's like a fine movie. It's fine. If it was on, like, you caught it in the afternoon, okay.
Yeah.
There's just like things about it that kind of ate away at me and irritated me either during or a little bit after when I kind of thought about it. And then I'm like, okay, so... this is just a dumb pet peeve of mine, but there's a scene where they're in a record store.
Yeah.
Right, when she meets the dude that she's going to hook up with, right? Whose hair I found distracting. You know how it looks like Ben Affleck's wearing a wig? Because he might be wearing a wig. Mm-hmm. This guy, too. It's like, did someone just drop that on his head? It doesn't look right. Yeah. It's something weird. Very big head. Anyway, they're standing around in a record store, and this movie's set in 1995. And it's like a cool record store. And there's, you know, like cool vinyl behind them, like the Jesus Lizard and stuff. And I'm like, hey, it's 1995. There's no fucking vinyl in any goddamn record stores.
Yeah.
That shit was fucking over. Particularly
everything
not a fucking Jesus Lizard vinyl. anyone printed that in 1995. It's like throwing money away. And there's vinyl all over the place. Like, I know people like vinyl again now, but come on. It's 95. It's only CDs. Tapes are on their way out, too. It's all CDs. just drove me nuts. Even in used places didn't have it. There's no fucking vinyl. Anyway, so then that bothered me, and I was just like, I gotta let it go. Just forget about it. Just some scene. They just wanted to have a cool thing.
What if it was like a rotate this? They've always had vinyl.
No, they have not. Not in 95. I spent all of my free time was spent hours upon hours upon hours in record stores, particularly in the mid-90s. And the used ones. I'd be down at Drifted Music on Queen Street. They didn't have any fucking vinyl there. Anyway, no vinyl. Can't get it. And then as the movie was plodding along, I'm like, why is this set in 1995?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why. With the other than, like, it's 1995.
But they don't really make a big note, like... But to me, it's like, do you want it to be so overtly like there's a reason why, or why can't it just be like it's a movie, it's 95?
I just didn't understand nothing about it, about the social interaction or the way people behaved was something that was like set to that time period. Like there was nothing, no one was doing anything that would be different from 1972 or 2014.
So why does it matter?
I know, but it just kind of gets weird.
Because at that point, I feel like it feels exploitative.
Sure.
Like it feels like they're just trying to go like, hey, some
exploitative
people...
of a year or of the viewer?
Of the viewer. Like saying like, hey, remember 1995? We're going to set
But dress. The movie doesn't say that. It's just like, just is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
well, I haven't seen it, but that's why stuff like that can get under my skin.
Yeah, it just kind of. I mean, it's
I can
fine.
See that.
And it's not a bad movie. It was just like it bugged me.
Yeah,
because then I was like, well, let's when all the movies were set in the '50s and the '80s when I was a kid.
Yeah,
it was like because they wanted to kind of look at these different ideals and like it was like a different world the '50s compared to the '80s. You know, and like the mid-90s aren't all that different from now, really. Other than no one has cell phones. And there's no vinyl in record stores.
And everyone's pants are weird.
Yeah.
So, why are they so big?
Like,
I don't know.
Why are we in 95? We're not even like visually exploiting 95 for a lot of the unfortunate fashion things that were happening then, or that would stand out.
Yeah.
Know? Like at least have some. If you're gonna do it, just like at least have a little fun with it and like really do it.
Yeah. Anyway, I can see that.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a small thing. It just bugged me.
Yeah.
I got set off by the record store. Then I was still going
started
back.
Looking for...
There's no fucking Jesus Lizard vinyl in a fucking record store in 1995.
That happened to me in that fucking Take Me Home Tonight 80s comedy movie with the guy from that 70s show.
Yeah, yeah.
They go into like a Suncoast and it's all VHS and there's like a bunch of prominent copies of a movie that came out in 2002.
Oh, man.
And I was like, God damn it!
What movie?
It's this movie called Rat, and it's about this... It's like a British movie about a dad who turns into a rat, and the cover was like a big pint of Guinness with like a rat on the side. And I remember renting that movie being like, what the fuck's this movie in high school? And that it was a 2002 movie. So when it was in the theater, like no one else noticed but me. I was like, that obscure British comedy was not from the 80s. I similarly was like, fuck off.
Side note, that movie.
Side note, my phone has something to say.
My phone wants me to know about Black Panther. Anyway, side note, that rat movie sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I don't remember hating it. Yeah.
He likes it was beer.
Fine. Yeah.
he's a rat.
Yeah. Landline. Yeah, it's fine.
Hmm. Listen, it's totally fine. It's worth a watch.
Yeah.
Everyone's really delightful in it. Jenny Slate's just great.
Yeah.
It's good. Everyone's good in it.
Jenny Slate, more like Jenny Great.
Yeah. Oh, you made it.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Wonderful.
Dan.
I watched some movies. I was doing some Oscar stuff, and Emma was interested in watching this movie, and I was kind of interested in watching this movie as well. Wonder. From 2017, last year.
Is that about the little boy?
Yes. It's about the little... Bring me a little boy.
Daniel.
Patreon members will remember the joke.
Bring me a little boy.
Yeah. This was the Jacob Tremblay film with Owen Wilson, Julia Roberts, Mandy Patinkin, and more. And this
what a weird cast,
and
like surprise box office success,
And this is one of those movies where you go into it and you're like, this is going to be a manipulative, tearjerker, like crowd pleaser movie, and that's exactly what it is, and it's not a great movie. but I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
It's a very manipulative movie. It has a little tweak to it that I liked, and it's one of those movies where you're like, the heart and the message is in the right place, so it doesn't matter that it's just a okay, not great movie. There was something slightly charming about, like, if more of these movies were just this good, like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, I don't know, I feel like it could be a movie that would get under people's skin, but when it was all said and done, I was like, yeah, it's a fine little movie, and it had its heart in the right place.
Yeah.
It did what it promised, Dan. It brought you a little boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, you think it's going to be just the movie from his perspective, like he's got to go to school and deal with bullies and stuff, which it is about that. But the nice thing that the movie does, and again, I'm really trying not to overstate, like, don't go watch this movie and be like, this better be a fucking great Oscar-worthy movie. It's not. But the one thing that I really thought was a little charming and a little nice about it is that it's actually a movie that's told from a bunch of different characters' perspectives. So it starts with him, and then you get to see the sister's, like, life, and you get to see some other characters' background and stuff. And it really becomes a movie about, you know, like, understanding and, like, being understanding of each other and everybody's differences and everybody's, you know, small day-to-day struggles. And it's just, like, a nice message to anchor the movie. And it made me feel like the movie was being pitched a little bit younger. It's almost like a movie that you could watch with, like, a young child and then, like, kind of have a discussion about. So when it wasn't really a movie that was living up to my expectations, like, dramatically, I was like, but all this movie really wants to be is, like, a nice movie you could watch with your kid and be like, what did you think about that? And didn't the bully learn a lesson? And wasn't it, like, the bully had his own things going on, right? Like, this is the world. And so it was charming from that perspective of me being like, this would be nice to watch with a kid and have that discussion about, mm-hmm. like, being a good person. And that's all that this movie wants to do. It just does it in a really, like, over-the-top way. But again, because it's for kids, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, hey, give it a pass.
You mentioned that you were trying to do some Oscar watching. Is this an Oscar?
I think
situation?
It was up for effects or something. Oh. Or makeup. Hmm. It's up for makeup, I believe.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's that. Wonder. Yeah.
Wonder.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering.
Yeah. What else?
I get it.
Uh-huh.
I got there.
Great.
I watched some other things, guys.
Yeah.
Don't pretend I didn't.
Okay.
All right.
What do I want to watch next? Mm-hmm. I was also doing some Oscar catch-up, and I watched a movie called The Shape of Water.
Oh, nice.
Tell me what you thought about that lovely film.
Well, I'll tell you something about that movie.
All right.
And it's that it's great.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
It's lovely.
It's my favorite Guillermo del Toro movie so far.
Nice.
yeah, it's really, really great and charming and horrifying and has some hand trauma in it that I did not care for at all.
Oh, hand trauma.
Yeah.
Is that another thing this year? Like, what was the Netflix Stephen King movie? That had some hand trauma in it.
Oh, Gerald's Game.
Gerald's Game. Mm. Is that
like, had some hand trauma.
2017, the
that
year
movie
of
Life had some hand
trauma.
Yeah,
it did. Yeah.
What a great movie.
Yeah.
And god damn it, Michael Shannon is a fucking excellent creep.
Did you say funking?
Yeah. He's
funking. Funking. I'm trying not to swear so much.
Yeah, get the funk up.
Yeah. If you don't like what you see here, get the funkers.
Yeah,
he's great.
He is just
so
terrific.
Fucking
I thought everyone
great.
Was so very, very good in it.
Everybody's so good in it.
Yeah.
And guys, not for nothing, that is one fuckable fish monster.
Yeah. This fish fucks.
This fish straight fucks, guys. But yeah, that is a fucking great movie. Richard Jenkins is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, I gotta watch that and see how that fish fucks.
I gotta tell you, it is hot.
Yeah, I came here to do two things, breathe underwater and fuck. And I am not in the water.
And my lungs are full.
And my little fish dick just popped out of its little fish cover.
Whoa.
Yeah. One thing I really took away from that movie, in a movie full of great performances, is how good she is in the lead. She doesn't say a word and just owns the whole movie.
Nice. Yeah.
Just has the whole pitch, the whole emotional journey you go on, you take with her, and it's so big and clear and comfortable, and she doesn't say a word.
Yeah.
That is an amazing performance.
Yeah, yeah. She's deceptively amazing,
yeah.
too, because you kind of forget about that.
Yeah.
You forget about
exactly.
the fact
you
that she's
even realize
not
that she
talking.
Hasn't spoken a word.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's remarkable. Did you guys see Happy Go Lucky?
No, actually.
Happy Go Lucky.
Why did you say it like that, Craig?
I ran out of air again for some reason.
That.
I don't know what happened to me.
Did you guys see
Happy Go Lucky? Happy Go Lucky?
Did you ever see that movie?
Happy Go Lucky.
There's like
a. Take a breath, Craig.
I can't. I heard it was really good.
I'm doing this whole show on one breath. only breathing out.
You got to work in the in and out so you can go talk forever.
Oh, I'll breathe in for the Patreon.
Jack Black style.
All in.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Patreon. This episode features coughing.
Yeah. This episode features everybody flubbing lines and getting called on it. Yeah. Happy Go Lucky,
happy
I
go
heard,
luck.
Was really good.
Happy Go Lucky.
Really good. Yeah.
She's wonderful in it.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You should watch it. It's nice.
And
it?
Yeah, so Shape of Water. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. What else, Greg?
Let me look at my list because I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Mm-hmm. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I watched a movie.
And it was called?
It was. Where's my list? Where's my thing?
Oh,
there
phone.
It is. Oh, I watched Mudbound.
Oh, Casey watched that recently.
Oh, I saw that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you mean you watched Mudbound?
Mudbound. What a wonderful film.
So good.
Oh, my God.
I got to watch that.
But do you understand what I'm talking about with Mary J. Blige?
100%. She's fine in it.
She's absolutely fine.
Yep.
For
it's
her
a
first
good
performance,
performance
I, like, this movie makes me go, I'd like to see what
acting.
Else she can do.
Absolutely. Put her in more stuff. I don't understand in a movie that has towering performances from Garrett Hedlund and Carey Mulligan and Jason Clarke and Jonathan Banks.
Yeah.
And Jason Mitchell.
But Jason Mitchell, he's like, it's insane what he fucking does.
Yeah.
Does he fuck a fish?
In the most insane way you can even imagine.
And Rob Morgan, who plays Hap. Good Lord, what a performance. So, like, these are big, like, home run hitter performances. And, like,
but
for
not,
some people, Garrett Hedlund, the best work of his career.
Yes, absolutely.
And he's been quite good. And at he blew it. Suddenly we were like, here's this guy in Tron.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like he made really interesting and smart choices.
Yeah.
To get himself not to be like the Tron guy, watch out. You know,
yeah.
Like some kind of mistake or something, right? Because he's fine in Tron, too. If you go back and watch it, it's a bit of a bumpy ride of a movie, but he's all right in it.
Yeah.
And he's been good in some things, and so here we go. This guy can really fucking act.
He's fucking fantastic in this movie.
And Carey Mulligan is just heartbreaking in it. She's so wonderful. Jonathan Banks is a horrible, horrible, mean piece of shit.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
I was not comfortable not liking Mike Ehrmantraut, but God, he is a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Jason Clarke is fantastic.
Really good.
Because he really, there's a lot of subtleties to his performance of a man who's just kind of trying to figure out what's going on. It's Jason Mitchell. Like, his whole sort of journey from A to B is fucking captivating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, Rob Morgan, who plays Jason Mitchell's father.
Yeah.
I
almost wanted more of him.
Yeah.
You know what I liked, too, because this is based on a book? I like that they really, like, it feels like there's so much packed into a movie.
Yeah.
But it really feels like they got the essence of a book. Like, I didn't read the book or anything.
No, it was so, and, like, extremely well directed.
Yeah.
And edited to bounce back and forth from all the different narratives. And not have that feel clumsy or clunky or confusing.
And there's a couple of just beautifully handled moments, like when they're at war and the Black Battalion is on the ground, like in the mud, like just fucking trudging through. And the White Battalion, the Battalion of White Guys, just kind of flies overhead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are so many parallels between, like, you know, the class system at the time, or, yeah. or well, you know, racism at the time, yeah. And what
Thank
was
God
happening
we got
in the
rid
war.
Of that.
Racism?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember
yeah.
racism, guys?
What a bummer that was.
It was whack.
Yeah.
But yeah, like just some really, really beautifully handled and, mm-hmm. and not overstated moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like if this movie was nominated for directing, I'd be like,
yes,
yeah.
I get that.
And this is her first like major feature.
Yeah, and it's more than just like nice first movie. This is a very well realized film. A
yeah,
very well told story. Yeah, gorgeously shot.
Yeah, I got to watch that.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. Got a little choked up in a couple scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
especially the oh god, it's
oh,
just
the
that,
end
like,
is good kind, like the bad kind of choked up and the good kind.
Yeah,
it was a remarkable movie.
Nice.
Yeah,
but I was
I don't know why this isn't a bigger with all the you know we're nominated a million movies and
yeah
stuff. This one just doesn't seem to have any attention.
Yeah,
and it
that's
should.
So weird. On that note, very quickly, not to take away from Mudbound, on the topic of like all these movies that get nominated,
yeah,
and there's so many of them,
yeah.
I watched The Post.
I'm so glad you
and
brought
I
it
really,
up, because I almost mentioned it, because I saw like a half an hour of The Post.
I don't want
I
to...
I saw all of The Post.
Yeah.
No.
I don't want to talk about it for too long.
Okay. Let's talk about it right now, though. Because,
yeah.
Because it was like a paint-by-numbers Hollywood movie that I like could not engage with at all, and yet it's up. And it just like came out to be nominated. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't even like a,
to
a
me,
released movie that anyone...
It was fine.
And I like everyone involved.
I know. And it's got a great cast, and it's a great story, and it just felt like... I didn't care about
no.
like
oh, I really liked it.
I just thought it was fine. I was
but
like,
I feel like Mudbound should be.
Well, that's the difference, though. Like, I mean, The Post is not. It's not a movie that's meant to be. I think, emotionally engaging or anything, because it is not at all.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting story, and
yeah.
it really tells the story of, or rather, it's a wonderful movie to support Meryl Streep's fucking brilliant performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's fucking phenomenal. Like the way she plays, like the humanity that she plays, and like she, you know, she's not like a hard, brassy woman who's like, I'm
yeah.
gonna run my paper. She's
yeah.
like a person who like
yeah.
who's like, no, I want everyone's opinion. I want to know what's going on. But she has so much strength of conviction, like
yeah.
like look, if we're gonna do this, I have to know that
yeah.
it's all on me.
Yeah,
like that performance is the entire movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like whatever Tom Hanks is there and he's fine.
Yeah.
yeah,
you know Bob Odenkirk is there and he's fine. I think my favorite thing about the movie is the comment that you made, Dan, on Facebook. You said this Mr. Show movie is not funny. but other than that, I thought that her performance was fucking.
Yeah,
well,
it's,
I
like
it.
She's,
it's you know,
fine.
I know there's a. I feel like there's a little bit of backlash of her getting nominated again, and people are like sick of it. But fuck off, man.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
she's better than everybody.
Yeah,
yeah.
Her performance is absolutely worthy of being nominated.
Yeah.
Because again, like that's the whole story here.
Yeah.
The story about whether they, you know, they're gonna go to jail for fucking collusion or what. That is so secondary
yeah.
to this character and study of this fucking, you know, very human being.
Yeah. I agree with her performance. I just feel like as a movie it feels like a placeholder or like a
I absolutely get what you're saying.
And this is gonna sound really weird, but to me this feels like these are two movies that are weird to compare it to in Spielberg's filmography. But to me, there's like the Spielberg that I love, and then there's the Spielberg who does like Lincoln or War Horse.
Yeah.
And even though those movies are so different from this movie,
and Bridge of Spies,
yeah, it felt like this movie was more like I didn't like it's well directed, but like if you told me it was anybody else, I don't know if I would necessarily honestly look at that movie and be like, it's brilliantly directed. I'd be like, this
I
is
have.
Very well directed.
I feel
it's like he doesn't
was...
have, it's like, it's no fun anymore. Like, have some fun, Steve.
I feel like he was really trying to stay out of his own way.
Yeah.
In directing this movie. And yeah, and
it's well edited,
for,
well put together.
Yeah. But it did
sure.
make for a somewhat bland
yeah.
Directing style. But again, I just thought everything surrounding, like, everything supporting her was fine and
yeah,
what it
and
needed to be
good.
And that she was fucking
yeah.
wonderful.
I just feel like with Spielberg movies, like they're of a quality, which is always fine, but I feel like how I started to feel like, I guess the mid-90s with Steve Martin, where I'm like, yeah, you're gonna be funny again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
going to be funny? Why are you being so serious?
Yeah.
Why aren't you funny?
I think, I feel like technology is really working against Steven Spielberg. Mm. Because, like, the better computer graphics and everything get, computer graphics, what is this, 1987? the better CGI gets and everything, the more he uses it. And when he relies on stuff like that, all of the, the magic goes out of his movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really watch anything else other than those stuff. Yeah. Anything else before we get to Film Roulette?
Oh.
I watched a couple of episodes or an episode and a half of something that I'll talk briefly on and more later.
Yeah.
I started to watch this season of American Crime Story.
Oh, yeah.
The Versace story.
I saw the first episode and I'm going to keep watching.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I'll keep watching.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nah. I don't like the main guy. I don't like the guy playing Andrew Kernanen.
I do. I don't know. There was something about him that drew me in. Like, I watched the first episode and I thought, I think I like this more than the last season. Well, I wasn't a big, huge fan of the last season. I thought it was good.
It was awesome.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt like, I feel like there might be something here that will pull me in more.
I think eventually there will be. And I think that once the world starts to get more populated.
Yeah. But I also didn't run to the second episode. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we started watching the second episode and it was better than the first episode, but then we had to go and I was fine to turn it off.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, oh. I don't know. I don't love that guy yet. Maybe he'll get to a place.
How's Ricky Martin in it?
Yeah. Like he's they don't really give him much to do other than, you know, grieve and be like sad and like,
I thought he was good.
He seems very coached. If that makes sense.
I don't know if I, when I watched the first episode, knew which one of them was Ricky Martin, because I don't think I have like his face in my mind. So like later Emma was like, Ricky Martin was pretty good in that, and I was like, tell me which one he was so I can confirm or deny, because I don't remember. Yeah. But then I was like, oh, yeah, fine. Yeah.
I'll tell you, Penelope Cruz as Donatella Versace.
So good.
It's fucking fantastic.
Amazing. Yeah. She was like, her stuff in the end of the first episode was like, why in my mind? I was like, oh, I'll watch the next episode of this. Yeah. Yeah.
And she's playing a very monotone person. She's playing a very, you know, weirdly bland in a weird way person, and
right,
she's doing it in a very compelling way.
Yeah.
Edgar Ramirez as Versace is really great too.
Right. Cool. Yeah, American Crime Story 2. Anything else?
You guys, yes, me.
No?
No.
All right. No. Well, then let's get into Film Roulette. Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. Or, like this week, it was winner's choice. Pick whatever you want to see, but the low roller has to see something terrible, whether it's in theaters or at home. This week, it was a shark movie at home called Toxic Shark. Full stop.
Yeah.
But the low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. We will talk about our movies, talk about our album, and then roll for next week's films.
Yeah.
How do you guys want to get into the winner's choice picks?
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I'll tell you my movie first.
Okay.
Because it'll seem small in comparison to the rest of our conversation.
Yeah.
And that's me being cute, too, because I saw Downsizing.
Small!
Yeah.
Little Matt.
He's seen a little bottle.
Oh, Alexander Payne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, everybody seems to hate this movie.
The comedy drama science fiction film about a world where you can shrink yourself down and live on the money you had previously, which is now worth way more because you're tiny. And then you live in this little small world. And when I saw the trailer and read about this,
I really wanted to see it.
I was like, that there's like an idea here, and that's all cute.
And
but then the more I heard about it,
Alexander Payne movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't liked an Alexander Payne movie in a while.
I love Nebraska.
Yeah.
Oh, Nebraska, yeah. I keep forgetting about Nebraska. Yeah. I'm always just like, oh, yeah, if I didn't like Descendants.
Yeah, Descendants, I guess it was my least favorite. I still liked it, though.
Yeah. I didn't.
And I don't know. Like, Downsizing, people are down on it. Yeah. They're mean about it. Is it his worst movie? Of course it is. Why is that? Because it's not very good.
Well, mystery solved. Yeah.
It's not bad either. It's just there.
Yeah. Does it get worse? Because everything I heard was like, saw some people saying the first half hour, they were like, why does everyone hate this? And then they were like,
charming and, quirky. There's a great little cutaway gag that's wonderful with Kristen Wiig, and but then it stops having any sense of humor about itself. There's one scene where Matt Damon
fucks a fish.
Fucks a fish. Fucks a
good.
Erotic. Well, because he's very small, it's like a guppy or something.
Where he inadvertently takes some drugs.
Okay.
And it's a very funny scene. And coolly, I it's a nice throwback look, psychedelic.
Okay.
But he's funny in that.
Yeah.
But that's kind of it, if I just stopped there, I'd be like, well, I guess he's small.
Yeah.
And still, even so, at the end of the movie, I'm like, well, I guess they were small.
Yeah. Does it really get super serious? Because even the trailer made it is this going to become some life affirming?
yes and no. Things get the things are bad and the environment and stuff. And so that's an important message and something to talk about. But it's handled in this weird detached way,
mm-hmm.
which is why it's a problem. If you were going to really lean into it and if you pulled the rug and went hard drama. Like, shit is bad.
Yeah.
At the end of this kind of light movie at the beginning, then maybe it'll work. But it's just kind of like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And so, I was really just sort of not attached to it in any kind of way. And I get bored eventually. And I was just sort of waiting for some sort of ending.
Yeah.
Credits or something. the best thing about the movie, though, is a Thai actress named Hong Chow.
Mm-hmm. I keep hearing how great she is.
She's so good.
Yeah.
So good. And her performance does what the movie should have done, where she is
quirky. Really tiny.
She's very small. She's quirky and funny and unusual, and then has some really strong dramatic moments.
Okay.
That really bring you some life and human feeling, and there's no feeling in this movie other than that.
That sucks.
It does suck. Well, there's one other scene that's pretty funny where she's asking about what kind of fuck she was given. It's always worth watching just for that because it's a very good exchange.
I think I'll actually watch it.
It's fine. There's nothing Alexander wrong with it. It's not like it's bad or it's going to piss you off. It's just on.
Yeah.
And there's the odd thing that's good, but it is worth it for her performance. she got nominated for a Golden Globe and I think a SAG Award for this, and rightly so. It's a hell of a fucking performance. I guess no Oscar, though. That's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the supporting actress category is fucking stacked, though. So, but still, worth a look just for her. It's really, really, really good.
Nice.
So I'm glad I know who she is now.
Yeah.
So it was worth it for that.
Nice.
And everything else is just whatever. Little Matt Damon.
The silver lining of downsizing.
Little Matt Damon. They grow up so fast.
Yeah. Well, the time has come.
Yeah.
Yes.
Casey saw a movie this week.
It's finally happened.
Why don't you why don't you tell us what you did?
Okay. Guys, I saw a little movie.
Mm-hmm. Called Downsizing. And I waited until you were done talking about it to bring it up.
My wife and I finally... due to the absolute graciousness of Greg and his wife Athena,
nice,
who took our children for 3 hours, well, we could finally go and see Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
That's right. Oh my God!
Your kids are a delight. I had a wonderful time with your children.
I'm absolutely glad. When we got home and saw them playing with Zoe, it just absolutely warmed my heart.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I just heard Matt Brown scream in delight in the distance.
Yes. Okay.
We can finally talk about it. Spoiler alert for the listeners.
Spoiler alert.
So if you don't want...
If you haven't seen it, do what I have had to do for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
And turn off every podcast that you start to listen to.
Yeah,
yeah, including this one.
Yeah.
See you later. Skip forward 10, 20 minutes, whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So
you go to a Star Wars.
Yeah, I went and saw Star Wars.
Did you listen to our review of it?
After you saw it?
No, of course not. I want to know. Yeah. Like, I want.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Now, that said, I do know your opinion.
Yeah, basically. The gist of them.
And I know, because I know, Dan, that you quite liked it.
Yeah.
And have seen it a couple times.
Thrice.
Not once, not twice, but thrice.
Wow.
Yeah. And I know that, Greg, you didn't care for it that much.
I wasn't nuts about it.
And guys, what I have to tell you is I am stuck very firmly between the two of you.
Yeah.
I wanted so badly to like it.
Oh, me too.
Because I loved Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And now there was a lot about Force Awakens, or there was some stuff about Force Awakens that I had to make a concerted effort.
I mean, I turned a blind eye to some stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it made me and two great returns.
Yeah,
it made me really love the movie, and it made me able to continue my enthusiasm for Star Wars, which is something that if it ever died, I would just cease to exist.
Yeah.
So this movie, I went in with that same.
Yeah.
Desperate enthusiasm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't make it easy.
No.
Right off the bat.
No.
The crawl is fucking great.
It's super good.
And it feels Star Wars-y. Yeah. And it's like,
I was tingling.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then the movie starts with a prank call.
Yeah.
And something that I didn't notice until a good friend of mine, Wes, who just hated this movie vehemently, mentioned that I didn't even notice it. They make a Yo Mama joke.
Yeah.
In Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Stay on course. Stay on target. I was like, you know what? I can forgive this because Oscar Isaac is a Poe Dameron is fucking great.
Yeah.
Like, he's like this swashbuckling, wisecracking guy. So it's like, okay, well, it's him. He's doing it. So, okay, that's fine. I was
a little taken aback. Like, I was like, all right, well, this isn't very funny, but whatever. Then I was like, oh, we're still doing it.
We're still going. Oh,
it's a long joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And joke is a strong word. Now, to be fair, Donald Gleason is great at it.
Yeah.
Like, he does a great job at maintaining Hux, because I think fucking Hux is a great character, a fantastic Star Wars character, and honestly the best villain that we have in the Star Wars world now.
Yeah.
So...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, so it starts out with that and then goes into a fucking amazing battle.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Like, really love that battle. Like,
yeah,
it's great.
Then at that point, I'm like, whatever the dumb joke is.
Exactly. I was like,
there's
dumb
jokes in all the movies.
That's Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, there's enough clunky dialogue and stuff in the original Star Wars movies, but it's charming. So I decided to find it charming.
Yeah.
And then as it goes on, you know, more and more characters are introduced and stuff, and I'm like, oh, okay. all right, you, I guess you just be here now then. and then every once in a while, there's a really Rian Johnson-y shot, like a camera panning over and a very close-up on a character's eye.
Yeah.
That's just very Rian Johnson-y and very unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, well, get your dick out of my Star Wars movie. and from there... I found a lot of the time I was battling Rian Johnson.
Mm-hmm. He was there?
Yeah.
He was in the movie, and I was like, I'm trying to watch the movie. Stop punching me, please. Why are you doing this? Yeah. I paid money.
Yeah.
I found he was in the way a lot. And there was a couple of things that that were unnecessary. And, look. I like the porgs a lot. I'm like, look at these little fellas.
I was into the porgs.
They literally serve zero purpose but to be adorable on screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get into the ship, the Millennium Falcon, and then now they're just in there to be all over Chewie and to be adorable. Also, Chewie does nothing in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, Luke, okay, hey, want to see where the blue milk comes from?
Yeah, no.
No. The answer is no. But not only that, I don't want him to make that weird. I don't want Luke to go, like,
yeah,
he might.
Yeah, I drink it.
Yeah, he might as well have said, this is where the blue milk comes from. there was a couple of things where I was just like.
Yeah. When Dan and I talked about it, because he did enjoy it a lot more than I did.
Yeah.
And what I was, my feeling was, I was like, I was liking a lot. To it, but when it came to the end, when it came time to talk about it, and because I, right before recording, I talked to about five or six people who, like, aggressively hated it, which amped up my dislike of things. And I just felt like there was, like, I had a nice balloon of happiness, and there were little pinpricks constantly getting jutted into it, releasing my ability to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And
that's how I've felt about every Star Wars movie up until recently.
Right.
and it's like, it, you know, and I'm not, I don't have a canon problem with it. Like, people are like, it shouldn't be canon. I'm like, that's fine. That it's canon.
Why shouldn't it be canon?
I don't know. Because people are fucking idiots. It's the same like the people who are like, let's ruin Black Panther.
Yeah, I know.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah,
your life?
Seriously.
What's happening to you?
Dude, how sad.
That is the saddest thing.
Seriously.
So it's not that. I just, for me, like, I just, like, I wanted to like it, but just like, as, like, kind of is like, as a movie, and I don't care if things are explained away, like, no, well, this, because of this, I just didn't enjoy what I was looking at.
Yeah.
Like, for a lot of the scenes. Like, it just, I just didn't work for me. Like, I just didn't like it. and it's not because it's like, and it's beyond it being, it was my Luke or whatever the shit. I do need to rewatch it because I've still only seen it the once.
This is the thing.
Like, it just, things just, I don't know. There are scenes that weren't good.
Also felt a lot of that stuff, like when the movie started and we get past the crawl and that stuff is going on, I was like, this dialogue is not good.
Yeah.
And it did take me a while to like get into like the feeling of it. And for me, the other viewings really smoothed that over, but I was also already leaning on the side of positivity about it as a whole, where the stuff that did irk me about it the first viewing I did kind of get over and enjoy, but also like I don't expect that the people that hated it have to do that. They could just continue to hate it, right? Like it's their opinion.
But I don't hate it. I don't think it's hate worthy. It just has problems.
And that's the thing. Like I got to a certain point in watching it, and it's the casino point, where I was like, okay, what he's trying to do is he's trying to, or not, he is what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let me explain it to you. What it feels like he's trying to do is marry the tone of the original trilogy
with the
tone of the prequels.
Yes, totally.
And, you know, to be honest, I really feel like he did that. I feel like if that's what he was trying to do, he was successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know... you got chocolate in my peanut butter, but instead of peanut butter, it's terrible movies.
That's interesting, though, because and maybe this is a part of my, you know, I don't know the prequels super well, like seen two of them and a long time ago and never revisited them. But to me, if there was like a ratio, it would be like 80 or 85% original trilogy and then like almost just barely any of the prequel. Like, I don't even find that casino stuff outside of like the them running around on the like the chase monster things. Like, that's the only thing. And like, I don't find when they go in the casino, to me that feels like when they go into like the cantina or when they go into these places in the original trilogy, where it's like fucking like I watched Jedi recently and I was like, this is that shit to me. This is they go into a place and there's a bunch of goofy looking motherfuckers walking around. That's Star Wars to me. I don't feel like that was.
But I feel like it was less play. I feel like all of the weirdness and the characters and stuff like that were played less for laughs than they are. In like that little leprechaun guy,
yeah, with the coin thing,
yeah. Cut it out, little
I
leprechaun
did not
man.
Care for that at all.
The fuck out of here!
And then McFlinney can shoot coins.
That was great.
first of all, by the way, just before something that you said, Dan, I'm only ever calling horses chase monsters from now on.
We'll run around
and
chase
leave those
monsters
kids behind.
Yeah, fuck those kids.
There was no time for them to get those
kids in that stable. But let's let the chase monsters go. But anyway, I thought about Benicio del Toro was fantastic. Yeah. I can't wait to see more from his character.
It wasn't like a Sophie's Choice where they looked at the kids looked at the monsters and were like,
this is
gotta
just,
do
this
the
is
monsters.
Just me getting guys. This like, is just a monster.
There was a lot of other stuff going on in this scene.
Honestly, that's me nitpicking and getting worked up after talking to people who hated it.
Yeah.
And that's my end result.
I guess I jumped on it because I hated the space horse chase monsters. I didn't like looking at them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't care much for them. I was like, and also, fucking chill out with all of the creatures. There's just creatures that hang out in this movie.
That's
like
Star Wars. Jesus Christ.
No, I'm not talking about like alien guys or anything. I'm talking about
like specific creatures.
I'm talking about like the horses and the porgs and the
other guys on the island. The
nuns on the island and the
His little maid service that he has in his exile,
who are just there to set up.
I will be alone, except for my personal helpers.
Yeah, they handle mostly the sight gags. That's why I keep them.
In fucking Jedi, there's a little monster who keeps grabbing food and shit, and it's like he doesn't exist for any reason except to be a fucking dumb punchline that goes on forever.
Who, Salacious Crumb?
No, the little like there's like a little Muppet guy. When they go into the with the slave Leia scene, and there's the little Muppet guy, the only thing he does for like 15 minutes of the movie is go
that's delicious.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything in that scene but be annoying.
Yes,
this is Star Wars.
I
I'm not saying you're not allowed to dislike this because that exists, but I just have dealt with so much of like over the years of me being like, well, that's Star Wars to me. That's why part of the reason why I like this is because it has endeared me to the things like that, where I'm like, yeah, it's just a dumb little monster who's there. Like, that's when I watched the original trilogy, I'm like, there's lots of little guys and things and creatures running around that don't really serve any purpose, and maybe there's too much of it in this movie. My point isn't that you're not allowed to think that, but I just part of the reason, like, Greg talking to the people with negativity and getting very kind of, like, riled up about that, I get, like, riled up about the, like, but that's what this is, when people make the arguments that I have made about Star Wars in the past, but now everybody has those arguments, and it's, like, about this one.
Right.
And it just, it gets under my skin a little bit, because I'm like, I said that about the original, and you, for 32 years of my life, have told me, you're wrong, Dan.
Well, I don't think that that's necessarily wrong, and I definitely understand your point. I just think in this movie, it's, upon initial watch, it's jarring. It's like jar-jarring. It's just kind of like, oh, look, why do there need to be, like, I think the porgs are adorable little guys, and they feel really Star Warsy. Integrate them somehow.
Well, yeah, because, like, the Ewoks were adorable little cutesy things, but then they...
And then they kicked everybody's ass because they were awesome little fellas.
And then one of them dies, and it's terrible.
It is horrible, and I'm still crying about it on my insides.
Yeah.
But they were just, like, there. Like, they didn't do anything.
At all. Yeah. Like, nothing. And there's a lot of those where it's just kind of like, oh, why are you here? Do something.
Yeah.
And the crystal foxes, I mean, they're there to show that, oh, okay, well, there's a way out of the thing.
Yeah.
And that's fine and everything, but, like,
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of like, they're also like, hey, look at me. I'm a new Star Wars guy. I'm a little Star Wars. I'm a shiny Star Wars guy.
I don't remember that
guy.
Line of dialogue.
Do you remember that?
They all said it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a Star Wars. Yeah. I'm a little Star Wars yeah. guy.
Yeah.
I'm aware that I'm in a Star Wars.
Yeah. But I don't want a Star Wars where every turn there isn't a new little guy. Why was there like a big tentacle monster in Force Awakens? It's just like another big monster for them to fight.
Which tentacle guy?
Where they go in? You guys don't even remember it. It's so forgettable.
Oh, you mean the
He's transferring all the monsters and it gets out and they're hiding under the ground.
Oh,
and
the big ball thing.
Yeah.
Damn it! Why can't I remember what they're called?
I don't know.
I've
either.
Seen the movie. I've yeah. literally seen
because
the movie
there's a million things with a million names in Star Wars.
Well, listen, and the big giant rolling ball of teeth thing in Force Awakens is one of the things that I kind of went, oh, this is not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where I was kind of like. All right, we're doing this.
Seems like something
yeah.
else. I'll just wait for this to be over. I'm just glad yeah. Han Solo's here.
Yeah.
One thing I find with our new Star Wars in general is I'm confused at their, it seems like, intentional avoidance of like emotions that they could really hit for you. Like when Han dies and they come back, Leia goes and hugs Rey, who she doesn't know.
Yeah,
and Chewie just strolls
Chewy.
Past. Yeah. Like, what in the sweet fuck? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The new kid? And then the same thing. Like, you didn't get, like, all you get is a where's Han. You know, like, there's these characters, like, they're so wound together.
Yeah.
And we're killing them off, and there's no emotional, there's no mourning.
Yeah.
And it's a little. I find that frustrating in this new series that they kind of just maybe we'll.
It feels like they're just systematically killing off the old characters
yeah.
with very little emotion,
yeah.
so that we can all just embrace the new characters.
Yeah,
and maybe that is maybe there's like a, you know, maybe if they make it too emotional that the old characters are dying, we'll start to realize, oh, the new characters, you know, we don't love them as much as we love the old characters. I don't know. Maybe yeah. maybe there's something to that. I don't
yeah,
know.
I don't know. I like the new characters just fine.
I love the new yeah. characters.
They're really good.
I thought yeah. this. I thought
I was so worried about Finn. Yeah. I was like, what are you doing, Finn? No! And then Rose, the most annoying new character.
I love Rose. You guys are wrong.
Yeah,
move on.
I was just like, nah. She's a kind of a nothing character. But then I love that she kind of like came in and she put a new perspective on, because one thing that I like that this movie did was it played with like, what's the Force? What is good and what is bad? Like, who's the bad guy? Who's the good guy?
Yeah.
If the good guy's doing bad things and the bad guy is sometimes doing good things by killing Snoke, which is great because I hated that character. but I really like that she came and put a fine point on it. It's like, no, we're the good guys because we save what we love. We don't kill what we hate.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a wonderful point.
That's yeah.
And
there's good stuff in this movie.
Yeah, there is. And my final sort of judgment on this movie is that, you know what? I wanted to love it so much, and I tried and I tried and I tried, and there's so much for me to be a cranky old man about, but yeah. in the end, I will watch this movie time and time again.
Yeah.
And I think I will eventually grow to really love it as a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not like a prequel Star Wars movie where
no.
it's just like, I, you know.
It's not a Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's good things in it, and as much as I was frustrated with this is the Luke I waited all this
yeah.
time for, and it wasn't really what I wanted to see, it's still interesting and good. I think Mark Hamill did a really nice job.
Yeah, I think he really did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't care for the dust off my shoulder thing. That felt out of place, too.
Yeah.
It's like a little...
There was a couple things in
it's like,
it.
Don't
that,
do
that,
that in
yeah.
here, you know? Yeah, I don't know. It is what it is. I imagine
yeah.
we'll have Luke as a Force ghost.
yeah, which is great.
Yeah,
because I loved the inclusion of Yoda, which really felt like a device to make you kind of go, "Hey, remember how Yoda died? Remember that that you know Jedi die that way? Okay,
yeah, they can totally come back and set things on
yeah.
fire.
Yeah, which you know, I yeah. Also, he controls the thunder and
yeah,
lightning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We hate books now.
Yeah.
Hey, may you ever read those books? They suck. But you know what I love? I love that he was still a wacky little fellow.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I love that he's
that was great
his
that they really left behind prequels Yoda, who's
yeah.
a bummer to me.
Who's yeah, because he's not a funny little fellow. He's no. like a very serious little Yoda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Flying through the air, doing yeah. somersaults.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so
really,
dumb.
20 years is all we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Yeah, between yeah, us, exactly. Like,
anyway.
Lunchbox Yoda.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but the bottom line is I will watch this movie over and over again, and much like you, Dan, Maios really loved it. Like, yeah. she loved it. She loved Force Awakens. Like, I've shown her the originals time and time again, and she likes them, and, like, she understands, you know, the respect for them kind of thing, but she didn't grow up with them or anything,
yeah.
and
yeah.
they're not a huge part of her life or anything, but this is her Star Wars, and she really, really loves it. Mm. And if I can share that with my wife and then share
yeah,
that with
yeah.
my kids...
Yep.
That's,
totally.
Then I'm a happy man. If I can
yeah.
share Star Wars in whatever capacity with my family, then I
yeah.
live in a world I want to live in.
Yeah, mm.
so,
totally.
That's
nice.
Not overstating it too much at all. And, but sadly, it's not for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
It's not overstating it.
I'm so glad that you got to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And that was another thing, was that I managed to avoid all of the major spoilers.
Mm.
Now, I had found out, you know, the Nerdist published a thing that said, find out how they recreated Yoda for the movie. And I'm
yeah.
like, oh, I guess Yoda's in it.
Yeah.
And also,
yeah.
I don't know, they got
made
the
a puppet
out of storage.
Oh, yeah. How will we do it?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, where did it go?
Yeah.
Where we put that puppet? Well, there it is.
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what? I'm going to watch this movie 100
more
times.
How Yoda was recreated. First, we found the phone number of the man who had Yoda.
Yeah. Then we got it.
And but no, all was not well. We said, can we have our Yoda? And he said, I'm busy right now. I can't talk.
So we had to wait 10 minutes.
We had to wait 10 minutes. He called us back. We got our Yoda. We made a movie. and, you know, did I... cry when Luke died? Absolutely I did.
Yeah.
It was very emotional for me because, you know, I am Luke.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, I'm not Han.
No.
Throughout my entire childhood, throughout my entire life, I am Luke. And
well, this is the thing. Like, when I became a teenager, I was like, Han fucking Solo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the coolest. But, like, when I was a kid, anytime, you know, you'd run into friends and everyone wants to be Luke. My favorite toy was Luke.
Yeah.
And when I heard that they were making new Star Wars movies, all I could think of was, I'm going to see Luke Skywalker in a movie again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've been waiting for that. And they're like, and Harrison Ford said yes to him. I'm like, oh, Han too? Cool. But I'm
awesome.
Like, but I need
yeah.
to see Luke.
Yeah, yeah. Because, again, like, I need the continuation of my story. I need...
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's also very hard to kind of go like, oh, Luke was going to kill a guy.
yeah, I mean, all of it feels weird.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, eventually I'll settle into it. And you know what? I will say, whether you liked it or not, Rian Johnson really swung for the fences.
He did. And some of these scenes are visually astounding.
Yeah.
I like his look for Star Wars. The whole, the salt.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, man.
And
wow.
he also really did a lot of of expanding what a Jedi can do.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, astral projection or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I could see how a Jedi could do that. So
yeah.
Fine, I'll be all right with it.
Yeah.
Now, I kind of thought, I was like, oh, it's going to be kind of like clever. Like, we're going to find out that Luke, you know, was dead for 30 years.
Yeah.
No, but like was already dead, you know, and he was a Force ghost
yeah.
who Kylo Ren could see because of his Jedi training kind
right.
of thing. But they sort of did that, but they did it in a much classier way
mm-hmm.
than doing the, but he was already dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So here, I got just a question, and I'm not trying to nitpick here, I'm just confused.
Yeah.
So...
I got a lot of nits on me,
yeah.
So if you could nitpick.
I'll nitpick a little bit. So he was like, oh, I'm sending my Force person there. I would get a haircut.
I was
haircut?
Like,
there's a...
Why did he get that beard coloration stuff?
Yeah.
What happened here?
He
yeah,
is
just
presenting himself exactly as... Kylo Ren
remembered him.
Remembered
sure.
yeah. him. Okay, fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
No. I totally get that.
Yeah, in order
yeah.
to play on his weakness, because he knows that's if he appears in that way, it'll make him the most angry.
Yeah, fair enough. And that's not
that's
really
why
my
he
question.
Doesn't have his robot hand as well.
Wait, no, he would have had the robot hand. He had,
yeah.
He's had the robot hand since Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
but yeah, no, he. I totally get that, and I really liked it. Honestly, I really liked that final showdown kind of thing.
Yeah, super cool. Yeah. But here's my real question. My real question is, before he goes out there, he sends Astral Luke to say what's up to Leia.
Yeah,
yeah.
And gives her Han's dice from the Falcon.
Yeah.
Are those ghost dice too? Then how's and did when he disappeared, did the dice disappear from her hand too? Like, oh, you burnt.
Yeah.
Psych.
Yeah. I don't know.
Ghost jokes.
One
crazy big stumbling block, as long as we're dealing with those stumbling blocks.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing that was really difficult for me was
Super Leia?
Yeah. What?
I loved it.
No.
Why not?
No. Because do it. That's fine. Show that Leia has some of the Force in her, because obviously she does. But her Mary Poppinsing gracefully through space was a little much for me to take.
Yeah.
Like, I love Leia, and I love the dignity that that she has as a general now.
Yeah.
And that was just silly.
I loved it, and I teared up because I wanted nothing more in that moment to see her come back to life after real world things happened.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think what I said to Dan in our original review was, there are a lot of things that I like the themes of and what they were meant to represent.
Yes.
But I do not care for how they were delivered to me.
I absolutely agree. I think that this movie tackled some really, really interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the execution was like, Kylo Ren, I have my problems with. I liked him in the first movie, but in this movie, I'm like, he's just becoming more and more of a petulant little dick.
Who are the security guard fellas in the red? Why are they so hard to beat?
They're very, very difficult
very hard to beat.
Yeah.
Samurai. Are they like Sith apprentices? Are they what's going on there?
They must be.
It seemed like a little too hard to beat the henchmen.
Well, it was very difficult to beat them. It was extremely easy to kill Snoke, who is your dark master of all that is mysterious and everything, but he has no idea that you're about to fucking... He cannot see. He has zero peripheral, by the way.
Yeah.
He cannot see what's going on right here.
Next to his hip,
yeah.
And after he just, like, manipulated their minds and he set up their whole fucking, I see
I
you.
I didn't care for that.
Where's your shirt stuff?
Yeah.
I see your nipples.
It was I who created those nipples for you to see. I wanted you to see the nipples. Did you like them?
Yeah, I was kind of like, okay, well, that was another thing that I was like, I don't know if I like this or not. But it's good enough.
Yeah. And I found, like, the opposite of Greg. I found the themes and the things that the movie was doing helped me get over the stuff that I was feeling nitpicky about.
Yeah.
Which is why when I watched it the second time, I was really, like, fully on board from the beginning.
And I really think
a movie that the more I thought about and the more I thought about the themes and the more I thought about what it was ultimately trying to say as a whole is more when I was able to get over like the weird stuff and like the bad dialogue and the stuff that to me has been a negative of Star Wars, where I go back and I watch the original movies and I'm like, I know you guys have seen these for like a million times over 30 years or whatever, but like there's some dumb bad shit in these movies. and this movie having the stuff that it does has helped me get over that, to the point where I can go back and watch the original trilogy now and I like it more because now I'm like able to engage with it on the level that it's meant to be, which is it's just a silly space opera with lots of fun creatures, and I can watch it. I don't have to be like, why do you think this is perfect? Because it's not.
Yeah.
And they're like, none of them are for me.
Yeah.
Fair
enough.
Yeah. So, bottom line is I choose to love it because I still want to love Star Wars, and I could hate it, but I don't. But I feel like if I did decide to hate it, or if I did just hate it, that a part of me would die that I don't want to.
Yeah. Well, listen, and I didn't hate it either. I was disappointed with a lot of it, but still, even with that, where we wound up at the end, I'm like, well, I'm super curious to see the next one.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like it's because this, I was like, Finally, a fucking Star Wars movie that did not have a Death Star in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was nice.
That's
that was
really,
cool.
That was so happy about that. And it doesn't seem like we're leading towards one either.
Right.
And it has a lot of things that mirror Empire, just like Force Awakens mirrored A New Hope.
Yeah.
You know, and we leave on a very like, wow, everything's pretty fucked.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's interesting. And it's quite a scenario to write your way out of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a final film. Like it's a pretty hefty order he's served up.
I was talking to Myers about it when the movie was done and talking about how you know, cuz you're like, well, are they going to kill Leia? Are they going to kill Leia off in this movie? Because if they do, it's going to really feel like, hey, we killed off Leia because we had to.
Yeah.
You know, like it's going to really be noticeable kind of thing. And I was like, so I'm glad that they didn't. I'm glad that you know, they're going to deal with that somehow in the next movie.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be in a very tasteful, understated way.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not in the way like they did with Rogue One and it's recreating digitally people that are dead. I can't see them doing that.
I'm not going to be okay with that.
No,
but don't do that.
But a way this movie dropped the ball on that by glossing too much over it was that they were like, hey, the bridge exploded. Admiral Akbar's dead. Everybody. Anyway, let's keep going. I'm like, everybody loves Admiral Akbar.
Yeah.
Don't just go, yeah, he's fucking dead too.
Yeah,
so let's.
There's a lack of emotion. And they're really steering away from it.
Now, granted, like if they had have made a big point of going, Admiral Akbar is dead, it would have again called to mind too much the fact that the actor himself is dead.
Yeah.
Right.
So they sort of had to do that, but I was kind of like, oh, come on, let's have a moment of silence for Admiral Akbar.
Yeah.
And my final thing.
Yeah.
Maybe upon a second watch or something, I'll find something about Laura Dern's character that's remotely interesting.
Mm.
But wow, is she ever there to just be like, "Hi guys, I represent the wet blanket of the rebellion. I'm here to." I was like, "Oh, make her cool."
Yep.
Anywho,
all right, Star Wars.
Yep.
There you go.
Toxic shark.
Oh, man. A toxic shark, you say?
Yeah. Spitting on you.
Spitting on you. Oh, guys. Toxic shark.
Getting out of the water.
Yeah. No. No.
No?
Here's...
It just spits out of the water.
You'll find out. There's a way that this monster can get at you from the water.
Oh, no! Chief shark!
You're like, I was having this dream where I was going to fuck the shark.
And then he spit at me, and it was on.
Yeah.
Because that's my jam.
Toxic Shark from last year, directed by Cole Sharp. This vacation really bites.
By Cole Shark.
Cole Shark.
Cole Shark.
Only a man, not a shark.
So weird. All the people in this movie were just sharks. And it was a guy in the water who was murdering people.
Kept spitting on sharks. Sharks have very specific fears about humans.
A tropical singles retreat takes a terrifying turn when guests realize a poisonous shark is infesting the surrounding water. Not only will it rip apart its victims,
this shark is poison.
But it also uses projectile acid to hunt in and out of the water.
Oh, I totally forgot to tell you. You know what I realized? I was walking down the street the other day. I was like, oh, shark's poison.
do you guys know that the shark's poisonous?
Oh, it's a poison shark. I hate those.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, poisonous coal shark.
I didn't even realize it was poisonous.
Yeah.
Something about the word realize that makes me really happy.
Me.
Do you realize how poisonous the shark is? Until you said something.
I was just thinking about poison and then about sharks, so I put the two together. But the shark is poisonous.
Put the two together.
Poisonous.
Boy, realization. Poison shark.
Yeah. That was more fun than the movie.
Yeah.
This movie stars a bunch of idiots that can't act. that the kind of people you'd see in a sci-fi movie of the week.
Yeah.
For the sci-fi channel.
These shark movies, they'll have The same horrible people.
It also features so much dubbed dialogue that I thought, like, what's... I couldn't figure out if, like, is this just one of those movies where they were like, we're not going to shoot with sound, I guess, and we'll dub it all over later. But it's very off-putting, the dialogue and the way it sounds.
Sweet.
It's weird. So this is a sci-fi movie of the week kind of thing. I think it's garbage. And it's about this guy who goes to a singles retreat to get away from his ex. But then wouldn't you know it, his ex had the same idea. Oh, man, we got to hang out with each other at this singles shark. This singles place.
Fuck this shark.
This
singles
now you're shark. The singles shark.
But now
are you going to the singles shark?
Now there's a fucking shark here.
I just realized my ex-girlfriend's here, too. And I think she might
shark.
Be poisonous.
The first thing that happens in this movie made me laugh really hard, which is these two terrible actors are driving, like, ATVs around on the beach, and they're like, doing that thing where they have to pretend like they're excited, like, wahoo, yeah, woo, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
And they stop, and they're like, we should get back, because it's time to go back. And you're like, what the fuck is going on here? And then the guy's like, one more round, as if it was like a sport or something that they were doing. And then he goes, hey, look at this. And he drives it straight into a barrel and then flips over. And he goes, wah! And it's so funny the way that he is very excitedly calling her at her to check out this thing he's about to do. That I don't know what it was. He wasn't trying to do a trick. He just barrels it into an obstacle and flat out slams on his face into the water. And then a shark eats him, and then the water comes and they get like swept out, and you don't really know if they've been eaten by a shark or not. Actually, no. And then a shark jumps, and there's so many things in this movie where, and then a shark popped out in the most unrealistic CGI way, where you're like, how did it have that much momentum from that small amount of water, this like, you know, like knee level water, and you have this huge shark shooting out into the air, doing a backflip and eating somebody. It just looks terrible.
Wonderful.
But basically, they're at like this singles resort, and it's the Jaws thing where at the beginning of the movie, this guy's like, your singles resort is in danger because you need to test the water because people have been getting hurt from the water. Here's a testing pack, and I'm leaving. And then the guy who owns the resort is like, and throws the testing pack away.
Very
so you're
good.
Like, obviously, there's something wrong with the water. People have been complaining. It's probably not related to a shark. That is toxic, but it is. And so these dumb idiots are there, and the shark starts killing people in really dumb ways that look awful. and here's the kicker. So the first few kills are pretty normal, and then eventually they start showing you that it has this like kind of... It's hard to get a good look at it in the movie, but it has this just like periscope thing on the top of his head that just shoots, that just like... sticks up and points out, like on the top of his head,
like a,
right forward, like
an eye on it,
like with a little hole, and it shoots green goo out, and it sprays all over people. And for the first few kills, it's not really used, and then it starts coming out and shooting people, and then you realize, hold on to your fucking butts.
Okay.
Not only is this a really bad shark movie, it's also a terrible zombie movie.
Oh my god.
Because the goo turns people into zombies and then they're running around.
Oh my god. And they act like sharks?
No. They act like dumb zombies, and it's not anywhere near as fun as you might think that it would
be. Yeah, because I'm thinking that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I'm a big fan of a monster movie where there's a couple things going on.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I love Night of the Creeps because it's like, little slugs want to get up inside your
face.
This
is only marginally worse than that.
The Night of the Creeps?
Yeah, no, this is just a little bit of a step down from there. Yeah, I'm kidding.
Are there any little adorable alien butts?
No.
Yeah, that's another thing Night of the Creeps has.
I like
that's
a,
another reason why that movie's so erotic.
I like a monster movie where there's a couple things going on and a few butts.
Yeah. A couple of butts.
Yeah.
Now, they just turn into, like, you've painted them gray, they look shitty, people running around, and it's so boring.
Do they spit on people, too?
Not that I recall.
Jesus.
This movie gets very hazy for me, where I remember a lot more of the match 3 gem game I was playing while the second half of this movie was on.
And I was like, how'd you do?
I did really well.
Good.
What was your score?
Billions of points. Mm. Yeah, and then like eventually they kill the thing at the end of the movie by shooting a flare in its mouth and then it blows up, which I feel like eight shark movies end that way. There is some
nudity.
Laughs. There's some nude. No, there's some laughs that like you'll get out of these kind of movies. Like this movie is exactly what you think it is. It's another terrible CGI shark movie that you've seen a million of, and they really go for comedy and
so
nobody
it's really Sharknadoing it up.
Yeah, but it's like I feel like it's even worse than those. Although those have more of an exploitative, like, isn't it fucked up that it's a tornado that and I'm going to chainsaw them? Like, that one feels like it's trying to go for those, like, fake genre things. This one feels a little bit more like, let's make a zombie movie and also a shark movie, and we'll find a way to make them both.
Yeah.
And it feels, I guess, in a way more honest than that, like a Sharknado kind of thing, or like a shark tarantula, like those really fucking crazy ones. It doesn't feel like that. It just feels like here's a bunch of people that can't act, sometimes hilariously so, doing dumb things, and eventually a CGI shark will jump out and do something dumb and rinse and repeat.
Is there a spider shark movie?
I think there's Lavalantula, I know that. Hmm.
So no spider shark, though?
I don't think so.
Right. Claiming that's my intellectual property claiming right now.
There's a four-headed shark attack or something.
Yes, I know there's that. Now, Lavalantula, is that a cross between a tarantula
and a volcano?
A microphone?
And a lavalier? Yeah. No.
It's a tarantula you can wear on your lapel.
Yeah.
No, it's a cross with a lava lamp.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's only interesting if you're stoned.
Yeah. Oh, man, look at that spider.
Yeah. There's just like there's a lot of like
trippy
dumb chasing around of the shark of the people by those like infected people.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of like padding
trying
out
to, like,
with
like
dumb
hoard the people out, like herd them towards the shark or something.
Do they explain the science of how
why
the
shark,
shark
wants them to be zombies?
It's
or did he want them? Did he not want them to be? Was he like, what have I done?
It's a little bit more of like, now we got two things to deal with. These guys and the shark, and we're running around the shark. And the shark does, like, it doesn't, like, the way the write-up makes you think it's, like, it's going to get up and walk around or whatever. Yeah. But it does do the thing where, like, it jumps really far out of the water and grabs somebody and then somehow slides back to the water in a really dumb way.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just stupid. Like, there's some fun to be had, but it's another one of these movies.
Yep.
Full stop.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So that is Toxic Shark.
Wonderbar.
Casey, you gave us an album.
I remember.
Tell us about it.
Well, I was looking through terrible albums to give you.
Yes.
And I really wanted to punish you with something real, real bad.
Yeah.
And then I came across something that was too interesting not to give you.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say it was bad because I hadn't listened to it,
mm-hmm.
but it was Philip. What does he call himself now? Philip H. Anselmo.
Yeah.
It was Phil Anselmo, which I was like, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Pantera's great.
Yeah.
And if he's got a new band, chances are he's older now. He's mellowed out a lot, to assume.
Yeah.
So it's Phil Anselmo with his band The Illegals.
Yeah. That's funny that you thought that.
I did not think that.
Okay, yeah.
But I was like, I don't know, maybe he's trying something new kind of thing. And so I was like, well, let's all check this out together.
Yeah.
So I did check out this album as well.
Yeah. So it's Philip H. Anselmo and The Illegals.
The H is for happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Choosing mental illness as a virtue.
Hey, guys.
Is the name of the album.
Yeah.
From 2017 or is this 2018?
No, just came out.
It just came out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't even on Spotify the night Casey gave it to us.
Oh, but then it was.
A day or two later, yeah.
So I never really listened to a lot of Pantera.
Interesting.
I have listened to multiple of their albums on multiple occasions, not many, but they were never a band where I like super got into them. Right. I like them. I just don't really, I never really got into them to the point where I know them a lot.
Yeah.
So it was always just like, this is like, some of this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not some band that I'm super familiar with. Right. So I didn't even realize when you said who this was that I was like, oh, that must be the guy from it too. I was just like, okay, a guy.
I super got into them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had two distinct Pantera phases. I'm not the be all and end all of
Pantera.
Yeah, yeah. but I've really spent some time with some Pantera.
Yeah,
and I followed Phil's post Pantera career a bit. I wasn't into Down. Down's a little more like kind of stays doing the groove metal thing that Pantera I guess created.
Yeah.
But then he was in this band playing guitar called Arson Anthem. And it's really filthy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it's super filthy shit. I was like, this is really subversive and really good. It's not the best. Phil didn't sing on it at all. He just plays guitar. But it was really, 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 really dirty, gross guitar. And I was like, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
And Pantera was, like, before, he wasn't the original singer. This guy, like Terry Glaze or something like that. Glaze, I don't remember. They were like a hair metal band.
Baked Glaze.
Yeah, Dimebag Darrell was called Diamond Darrell.
Yeah.
And he was up until, I think, Far Beyond Driven? Maybe it was the first album?
Or, I don't remember what album it was, but
Or Southern Trendkill, maybe.
Yeah.
So they were like a hair metal band. And then they wanted a slightly heavier sound, so they fired the one guy, or he left, I don't know, and they brought in Phil. And even the first album with Phil is still pretty silly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not good.
Yeah, he hadn't really found his voice
What's
yet.
The first one with him?
I don't even... Power Metal?
Okay.
Power Metal. 1988, I want to say. But Phil was a much more heavy metal dude than the rest of the guys were, and really brought in this more aggressive approach. Cowboys from Hell is like... It's a classic, but it's a little dated.
Yeah.
But
that's the first one on Spotify. They don't really go any
no. They
any
kind
back
of they kind of like this is where we really yeah, begin. And like it's got great moments and stuff and some cool shit. But then it's the next album, Vulgar Display of Power, which was just like they almost stole Metallica's thunder with that album. The riff from Walk just like came in and was like, everybody get out of the fucking way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it is really the shape of things to come.
Yeah.
Where metal's going to go. Like a lot of it has to do with what happens with Pantera for a couple of years.
There's a sparsity in the production of that album, that whole album that's, or a clarity of, that's, that I actually really like.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There's something about the guitars on that album that I'm not 100% on the production.
I get why it could be gross because again everything is very separate and audible.
Yeah,
which I kind of like.
Oh, yeah.
There's like a cleanliness to the production that's that makes like the intensity of it kind of interesting.
Yeah, and the band just there's this push into more extreme metal and they get heavier and heavier as the album goes. Far Beyond Driven is a bit of a misstep, and just that it's uneven. And then Southern Trendkill is a fantastic return, even though the band fucking hated each other at that point because Phil was addicted to heroin, and what they recorded separately for that album, but it doesn't matter because it really came together. And then Reinventing the Steel, I guess it's too late for them to really make an impact, but it was kind of cool in the early 2000s. They made kind of a straight up fucking metal record, and I quite like it. And then anyway, so Phil's solo shit. Down is not super heavy or a huge departure from Pantera, but then Arson Anthem gets really filthy, and then he started popping up on like some EPs with a couple other bands and stuff like that. And I had the first Illegals album, and it's good. It's not great, but it's really going further and further. Where Phil's voice, he's really stretched it out. I mean, he's not just doing the Pantera thing. He's really leaned further and further into the extreme metal stuff. Yeah. His lows are really low, and he's got some cool squealy highs. It's not commercial metal anymore at all. Where you know he was part of creating the commercial metal. I mean, commercial legitimate metal.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's pretty subversive shit. So this is, I feel, for me anyway, this is capitalizing on that, and this is like the promise of what. Walk Through Exits Only was, and this band is really together now, and it feels tighter, and it's a full band, and this is dark, extreme metal, not in a like a, you know, Korn like dressed up crazy.
No.
We don't look at my
I'm a maniac when I play guitar.
They just really like
it's double kick. It's really, really gross.
It's very mindfully inaccessible.
Yeah. But so coming.
Sorry, I mean, it sounds like an NXS record.
So coming to this record, not really being a huge Pantera guy, I found it really interesting because I like this record a lot.
Yeah, me too.
It's really cool.
It's awesome. And I want to spend more time with it. But the thing that I really liked about this record, and from my minimal, you know, time with some Pantera records, it's really got this cool thing where exactly what you were saying, Greg, like the, like this is taking stuff from that kind of thing that Pantera was doing, but then it's like taking the like a lot of like modern sound, but it, the interesting thing about this record is that it takes all these kind of different genres of modern extreme, you know, aggressive metal, hardcore, like grindcore, power violence, and then also bringing in that kind of feeling that I can get from my minimal experience, but from Pantera. So it's like you're hearing like this kind of sounds like Napalm Death, and like this kind of sounds like I wrote down like there's some like Carcass on here. But then like I'm listening to it and I'm like, but I also hear like modern bands like Converge and Dillinger Escape Plan. There's like that kind of progressive experimental moments, but it's really in the like box of aggressive like grindcore aggressive pyro. Like there's that kind of like when he does the stuff with his voice, he's like he really gets to there. But it's just so interesting to hear, you know, elements of these like, like, because when I say like progressive and experimental, it's like it's not like this album goes off on like journeys of noise or whatever,
but there's a couple different
there's these things going on where you're like, whoa, it's really neat to hear that kind of a metal sound or that kind of a metal song structure or moment, but then I'm like hearing it as if like Agoraphobic Nosebleed was like playing it or something, like really
and
aggressive.
It's produced, it has the right production for what it is.
Yeah,
like, it sounds like underground metal.
Yeah,
the way underground metal has always sounded. It's this album is violent and angry, and it points a finger at people.
Yeah,
and I'm like, and I, you know, when I finished listening, I'm like, you know what? Good for Phil. He sounds happy.
Yeah,
it's like he got right to. He finally ground. He, you know, a guy who started like almost at the top and had to grind his way down into metal subgenres and just delivered a straight up great fucking dark.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Metal album.
Yeah, yeah, the entire time listening to this album. And in the best way possible, the most complimentary way, I kept thinking, wow, this album really wants me to fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
Like, because it'll just be like, it'll be like, we're doing this rhythm now. Fuck you, now we're doing this.
Yeah. But even like from a perspective of like the what I could hear of the lyrics and the topics and stuff, it feels like a like a really violent, like a like pointing fingers at things, but in an almost like not wounded or open way, but there's this like honesty and this like openness to some of this.
I totally get what you're
some
saying.
To the point where I was like thinking, I wonder what some of these songs are saying, and should I be like trying to pay more attention to them to figure out like, should I agree with what he's, I don't know what he's saying. So maybe he could be saying like, I love Trump. I don't know. Like, like some of it is obscured, but when I did hear the lyrics and when I did pay attention, there was a lot like the song, the album's called Choosing Mental Illness as a Virtue. There does seem to be a lot of these songs that are angry, but like in a way that is oddly cathartic and inviting and in like this is what's going on in my fucked up mind and like fuck you, like listen to it.
And that's what I metal really has always been
like
the best
that.
At
yeah,
know, or is a great tool for either to express yourself when you're creating the music, or as a listener to, you know, relieve tension.
Yeah, I really like this.
Yeah. And I will, for you, Dan, maybe this will be good for you, and then for our Patreon listeners as well, I've put together a Introduction to Phil playlist, a bunch of Pantera and side projects from him that I'll drop
on hear that
in the Slack channel this evening for listeners.
Yeah, because I tried
Wednesday
to go,
night.
I went and I listened to Vulgar Display again and a couple albums from that era, and I was like, yeah, I like this, but I just haven't got there yet.
Yeah, sure.
When then I listened to this and I was like, this is so in my wheelhouse. I really like this. Yeah, this is a really cool album. This could potentially be an album that if I continue to grow with over the year, it could be a year-end contender for me.
I would say so myself. Yeah, it's just great.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Because I probably wouldn't have listened to this. I wouldn't have even known it was something to be...
Yeah, that's super cool. This is a great pick.
Totally.
I didn't know it was out either, and I had no idea it was coming.
Just as a complete non sequitur, I was just checking Twitter real quickly, and I think everybody knows Megan Amram is probably one of the best things about Twitter.
Yeah.
And I just have to read this joke out because it's fucking brilliant. Megan Amram writes, "They call me the Dow Jones because I just went down on like a million guys and I don't really understand why." Oh, she's so good.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
So I get to give you guys an album.
Yes.
And I got into this record a lot, and I've done a lot of stuff on the show where I really like to give you guys records I love, and it's thinking about...
So we can shit all over them.
Yeah, thinking about how it's been a while since I did that. Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, I really liked the Converge album from last year, and Dillinger Escape Plan have some recent stuff that I've really dug, and I was trying to think,
their last couple albums were fucking
so good.
Dynamite. What of Us is the Killer?
Oh my God,
boy,
so
is that
good.
A good record.
I love that album.
Yeah.
So I was like, where could I go from here?
A great name for an album, too.
Yeah.
Jesus.
No, it's so good. Listen to that album.
Yeah.
Like, where could I go here from aggressive music? And then I was like, fuck that. I'm giving you guys something shitty. So I the last thing I think I gave you was like a washed up record from Ringo Starr or one of the last things I gave you.
Yeah.
So I had some washed up picks here that I wanted to figure out what I could do. And I've got three here. I'm trying to decide. There's one that is, I think, too close to that kind of album. So I'm going to give you guys something that I guess I can kind of relate to this aggressive music discussion. Because I was going to give you guys the new Morrissey album, and it sounds so bad, and Casey would be so mad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I would quit.
And then I was like,
straight up,
Mike Love has an album, and I love the Beach Boys, and I don't like Mike Love, and it sounds really bad, too. But what I'm going to give you, I thought Greg was going to whip this out the other day on Punishment Album Time, but...
Fish Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prophets of Rage.
Oh.
You guys heard this record yet?
No, of course I haven't.
I heard the song.
Yeah.
I've not heard the song.
So here's a bunch of dudes who were in seminal bands and now are in this garbage band.
Yeah. And it's like, I've seen all of these guys in their bands separately. I've seen Public Enemy live more than once. I've seen Cypress Hill live more than once.
Rage Against the Machine.
I've seen Rage Against the Machine more than once as well.
Yeah.
And amazing.
Yeah.
And they were either politically and socially conscious or just a great fucking time with some social commentary. All of them, like, their peak moments
were great.
Incredible.
Yeah, totally.
And Public Enemy being one of my all-time favorite groups ever in my life.
And here's maybe one of the low points from all Kurt.
All of them together having an embarrassing...
I listened to a couple and I was just like, this is not good.
It's so shitty.
Yeah, so...
And it's like... And it just...
Yeah. What was the lead single? Unfuck the World.
Yeah.
That's about that's about the level you could expect. So I hope you guys love it. Prophets of Rage, their album, whatever it's called. It might just be called Prophets of Rage.
Bum me out.
Yeah,
Chuck D is my favorite MC.
I know. Yeah, it's painful.
It's not...
Have fun. Okay. Prophets of Rage.
Yeah.
Rolling time.
Yeah, let's just do that then.
I'm going to roll first.
Okay, winner's choice again.
Versus the theater loser.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's been a while since something's been bad enough.
Yeah.
That means someone has to go see.
You could say it's a climax.
You could say it's a climax.
Yeah.
They say it's a climax.
Yeah.
This is the movie where everybody comes.
Yeah.
That's where you could say.
50 Shades Freed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Casey saw the first one.
Yes.
I saw the second one.
I saw none of them.
Mm-hmm.
Until now.
I know. It'd be nice if that's how everything rolled out.
I know. Yeah. All right. Casey, roll the two.
Two.
All right. Here we go.
God.
I'm rolling.
Who won?
That's
a two.
Two
as well.
Oh, shit. Okay. I got to beat a two.
Yeah.
So you guys can have a roll off.
That's a one.
Holy shit. You didn't
do
it.
Now you get to go see it.
Yeah. Fucking wow.
Remember how before we started you said, I kind of hope I lose so that I can go see the climax movie?
Remember the other week where you said that somebody who wasn't, you said that I was going to lose and then it made you lose. And now you said I was going to lose and it made him lose.
Yeah.
This is the reverse thing. If I say I don't want to lose, I lose. If somebody else says you're going to lose, they lose. Or somebody else does not mean.
This is a very confusing curse.
So
I don't feel good.
Enjoy 50 Shades Freed. Let us know how the climax is.
Fuck.
So next week,
let us know if you jerk it in the theater.
Yeah.
It would have been so good if Dan went.
Yeah, it would be
to
a real,
just drop into this thing.
A real nice closure.
Fuck. Yeah. So enjoy
stupid
it.
Dice.
Be a real nice climax.
Yeah.
I bet you wish that dice had just disappeared all
oh
of a sudden,
God.
Too.
So next week, 50 Shades Freed, Casey and I will watch whatever we want. We will talk about the Prophets of Rage album that maybe I'll give a spin or two to. As always, you can find us online, info@modernsuperior.com. Mm-hmm. If you want to email us, rate and review us on iTunes, Facebook, mm-hmm. and Twitter, SYNWPC, mm-hmm. and modernsuperior.com. Get into the Patreon, and you will be able to listen to us talk about all the movie trailers this week. And a funny story from Greg.
Yeah.
So, goodbye, as always. We will see you next Wednesday. There's a climax at the end of 50 Shades Freed.
This guy.
This episode has been brought to you by the Modern Superior Podcast Network.